Sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point a finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shoot, lights out.
Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing today? It is a Monday, June 16th, 2025. And yes, the Playmakers in the building. Oh man, I'm in the building. My esteemed co-host, Coach Johnson, will not be joining me for the duration of the NBA Finals and probably some part of the WNBA season as he had to take care of some family stuff. He's taking a break. He's taking a vacation to get himself back together and whatnot. But hey, I'm here for him. He needs a break. I'm happy to give him a break. Hopefully he'll come back and we can get back on the track and then start preparing for the other shows like Bearing Down a Gridiron for college football season and get that going. But hey, I'm here. I still got things to do. I still got to make sure I get you shows and talk basketball with you. But we are going to talk about the NBA Finals. As you see the title of the show, the NBA Finals Climax. We are through four games and we are tied. So now the NBA Finals is the best 2 out of 3. Also, WNBA took place over the weekend. Caitlin Clark returned. Angel Reese done something that she hasn't done in her career. There's a lot of things going on in WNBA, and also we got some news and notes from around the hardwood, is which where we will begin on this lovely Monday. As we go to our around the hardwood segment, that started off with the college ranks and coaches' challenges approved for the men's college basketball. The NCAA Playing Rules Oversight Panel on Tuesday approved several measures designed to help improve the flow of men's college basketball, with the addition of coaches' challenges being the biggest change. Coaches can now challenge at any point in the game out of bounds calls, basket interference, last goal tending, and whether a secondary defender was in a restricted area. Borrowing from the NBA's challenging rules, teams must have a timeout to request a review. If the challenge is successful, the team will get an additional replay challenge for the rest of the game. If the initial challenge is unsuccessful, the team will not be able to challenge for the rest of the game. So you got to get one successful challenge correctly to get another one. If you miss, you're done. So you have to use your challenges carefully, especially in college basketball. Well, that's a lot of time. I think coaches would be like to use their challenges, which have been very interesting. While officials can still initiate reviews on goaltending and restricted area plays in the final 2 minutes of the game, out-of-bounds reviews can now be initiated by only a coach's challenge. Which means we won't be having a lot of stoppages. Once we get on the 2 minute mark in the second half, we have to view every single play that the ball goes out of bounds just to make sure it was the right call. Could be interesting going forward for a college basketball season. Very interesting. Officials will also continue to use instant replay for timing and scoring issues and flagrant fouls. So they're trying to see if the college basketball season can get a little bit more flow to it, with them to it, and then coaches can challenge whatever they need challenge. Okay, we can try it out in college basketball ranks, see how it goes, see how it flows. But okay, we're making progress. I'm not gonna be mad about it. I want to see how it works. At least they're trying to do something. That's all I can say. They're trying to do something. All right, now let's go to Tennessee, Knoxville, that is. Judge denied Zakir Ziegler's request to play fifth season. Now, this I didn't know about. I didn't know about this. But it was an interesting read when I did find out. A federal judge on Thursday denied Tennessee point guard Zakir Ziegler's request for a preliminary injunction that would allow him to play for a fifth season in Division I basketball. U.S. District Judge Catherine A. Kaiser listened to arguments in a hearing on June 6 in Knoxville and entered her denial Thursday morning. She wrote that Ziegler failed to demonstrate how he would likely succeed in his argument that the NCAA is keeping him from playing a fifth season of Division I basketball is a violation under the Sherman Act. She says, quote, "This court is a court of law, not policy. What the NCAA should do as a policy matter to benefit student athlete is beyond the reach of the Sherman Act and the TTPA, and by extension, this court." Close quote. It says here that the two-time SEC Defensive Player of the Year asked for an injunction when he sued the NCAA on May 20th over his ruling limiting him to full season in a five-year window as an unlawful restraint of trade under both the federal and Tennessee law. His lawsuit argues that he could earn up to between $2 to $4 million with one more season, which looks like that's not going to happen. Unfortunately, I'm so sorry, Mr. Ziegler. You had a hell of a career, Tennessee. Matter of fact, you do a thorn to the Florida Gator side, if I'm being completely honest, and bought to the Kentucky Wildcats too. But I mean, you played four seasons. I don't remember, man. You maybe three seasons. I think one of the injuries took you out for a season. But the NCAA said no, and the U.S. District Attorney over there in Knoxville, Tennessee, also said no. So it looks like Zakir Ziegler's volunteer's career is over as it sits right now. Does suck, but it is what it is. Going to be very, very interesting how this goes. Well, moving forward, as we move forward, let me bring in somebody that's filling in for Cole Johnson. He is my co-host for Monarchs of Wrestling that will be taking place in less than 3 hours from now, around about 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The man they call Cool Breeze, Mr. Cool Breeze.
What up, what up, what up?
Look, you came in just in time for this one. Florida at Duke. Headlines the ACC-SEC challenge. The national champions are taking a trip to Cameron Indoors for the first time since 1998. Don't worry, I got the slate for you. Along with Florida going to Duke, UNC is going to Rupp Arena to take on the Wildcats. Mr. McCain, he's a Tar Heel fan, so I'm pretty sure he's from the same way I'm from when he hears that Tar Heels are going to Rupp Arena.
Oh, it'll be fun. I think Duke, we know they lost a lot of firepower to the draft, and we a lot of times want to praise guys that come in before we see them play. I would honestly say right now that you got to get a game to Florida. You know, just because, same thing with Carolina. Carolina has like 2/3 of a new team between guys graduating and guys leaving. And oh, NC State, I just want to say this real quick, NC State, y'all need to tell your coach to shut up because he's going to get y'all spanked. And Van Allen Lieben, we're going to see you, little boy.
Oh, NC State going to the jungle to take on the Tigers of Auburn. Oof. I mean, and look at it. Tennessee, they going to the Q-Dome. That's going to be interesting.
That's going to be a lot of good games in this challenge, man, for sure. It's going to be a lot of good games in this challenge. UNC, as well as the ACC in a whole, has been down the last couple of years. Been pretty disappointing just to watch them play, to be 100% honest, based on what we're used to in ACC basketball. But guess what? You're going to turn around or you're going to get worse this year. We're going to see how it goes. A lot of these NAL is killing NIL is killing the ACC because guys are coming because, you know, the history, but then other people start offering the money, you leave to go after the money. So you're trying to get into the money game this year. We'll see how it works.
Especially the last year's ACC chance when that thing was over on Tuesday.
Man, that thing was over on Monday.
That thing was over first day. It was done.
It was done before it started.
I was like, jeez, I did not expect that. Hey, I'm happy that the SEC won, but I ain't expect to be donezo that fast.
Well, sir, I'm not happy that the SEC won.
I know you're not. You're a Tar Heel.
Not at all.
I'm a Gator.
But I expected it. I expected it, though.
I did not expect the ACC to get steamrolled by us that fast.
I did. Unfortunately. Trying to play with my light here. We'll make it work.
That's the men's side. Here's the ladies. The ladies have some interesting games as far as, you know, the lady volunteers heading out to California to take on the Cardinals of Stanford. That's something I'm looking forward to.
That's a good game.
Oh, so you got a...
Oklahoma's a good game, too.
NC State, yep, taking a trip to Norman is a very interesting game here. LSU, Kim Mulkey, they're heading to Cameron Indoor to take on Carol Lawson and the Blue Devils.
I don't know what Louisville did, but
they got South Carolina and Dawn Staley coming to town. Yeah. And then your lady Target is going to Austin, Texas to take on Cole Johnson's Longhorns.
Cole Johnson and Megan's Longhorns. Mm-hmm.
So
it's gonna be another tough.
we got some interesting things going on here for the upcoming ACC SEC challenge next season.
Y'all going to Virginia Tech?
Yeah, we going to Virginia Tech.
That could be.
But my lady has not been tip top shape as of lately, so I don't know how I feel about that. Going to Blacksburg. So we're gonna have to see about that. So I'm looking forward to it. December 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. The men would kick it off and the ladies would finish it off. I'm looking forward to them 3 days right there. Them 3 days gonna be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Honestly, as a UNC fan, it won't tell me a lot about either one of my teams because the integration of new pieces is gonna be so deep that we might go out there and play great and it look terrible. We might go out there and play terrible and look great. It's real questionable. Put it like that.
Let's head to the NBA. Rockets and Steven Adams, they agreed to a 3-year, $39 million extension. That's an interesting move. Good move for Houston to keep themselves their big man.
Yeah.
After a surprising season that nobody had on their bingo card.
Yeah, you know, when you get to that point where it's time to get paid, a lot of guys have exceptional seasons, right? And then once you had an exceptional season, you got to pay them because the open market is going to say, hey, yeah, maybe historically been down a couple of years, but that good year, everybody will forget everything else and the bidding war starts. So you might as well keep them in-house, extend them early, and, you know, try to keep yourself out of that situation. And speaking of bidding wars, I know there's something else we can talk about in a few minutes.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy. Boy, boy, boy. What's a good solid deal for the Rockets?
Then we had this news come out. Grizzlies trade Desmond Bane to the Magics, and I don't know, there's not a blockbuster deal, and I'm gonna show you why this is not a blockbuster deal.
Oh, it's a blockbuster deal, sir.
The Magics only get Desmond Bane. The Grizzlies, on the other hand, they get Cole Anthony, Contavious Caldwell-Pope, and not one, not two, not three, but four first round picks.
Memphis Grizzlies GM,
Matter of fact, I'm gonna put this full screen before I say what I gotta say. I want y'all to get a full look at this trade detail.
Go ahead, so I'll let you go first.
Is Desmond Bane the type of player we need to, you know, help unlock the offense at Orlando Magic? Yes. We had trouble shooting the ball from the outside last year. Being the second best defensive team in the league is one thing, but when you can't put up points, it doesn't help when the other team can average 100 points and you in the 80s. All right? So, yes, we need help shooting-wise. Desmond Bane brings that. He averages 20 points a game. He's like a 40% three-point shooter, you know, 45% from the field. This is what we needed. So I'm not going to sit here and say Orlando did not get what they needed. You know what the problem is? You gave up two players and four first-round picks.
And a pick swap.
I don't care about a pick swap.
A highly unprotected pick swap.
Man, so I don't care about that. Four picks.
It doesn't matter.
Four picks. You gave up two players and four picks for the number two option on a Grizzlies team. Not the number one option. The number two option. Guess what? He's going to be with Orlando. The number two option. Maybe number three. Because we already know option number one is Paolo Banchero. They're going to be between Desmond Bane and Franz Wagner for number two. And the other one could be number three.
Wagner was going to be number two, in my opinion.
We gave up all that. Now, if you would have gave up Cole Anthony and Contreras Carter for maybe two first-round picks, I'll accept it. You know what? Okay. But four first-round picks? None of them which is protected, which means we can't even get those picks. There's no caveat for us to get any one of those picks back.
I think one of them is protected.
None of them. Trust me. It's my team.
I thought they said one of them was protected.
I know my team so very well. That's how you know. I'm like, what are we this for? There's no caveat for us to get any one of those picks back.
Because I thought they said the one from Phoenix, which is one of the ones you've given up, was one you got from Phoenix. So they said one of them was protected, but maybe not.
No.
Maybe they And information at the time.
And this is why it's frustrating to be a Magic fan. Because they do something like this, and you have to scratch your head like, what? When we got, and by the way, we talked about it on Snowman tomorrow. I was on Snowman today because I won't be able to be on tomorrow. After my joint comes back, gets the full season under his belt, takes out the Orlando Magic with Penny Hunter and Shaquille O'Neal, right? You know what happened after that? Well, somehow, somewhere, Shaq found himself going to L.A. And you see how that dynamic changed in the NBA. Let's fast forward to 2009. Do you remember 2009 very well? Oh, yeah, Dwight Howard-led team with Jameer Nelson, Hedo Turkoglu, Mikal Peaches. Yeah, that grew right there. J.J. Redd and all them. Get to the NBA Finals, you get beat 4-1 by Kobe Bryant and the Lakers. Jokingly, still to this day, I do not forgive Courtney Lee for missing that layup, that game winning layup in game one. Jokingly. Because that would have turned the whole series around if you still game one in LA. What happened after that? What do the front office like? Blow the whole goddamn team up. And what sent Dwight Howard to LA to join Kobe? Hedo Turkoglu basically retired. Jameel knows he tried with the New Orleans Pelicans. That didn't work out. Mikal Peaches went, you haven't heard from him since. You bring in on the downturn of his career, Vince Carter to Orlando. And that team hasn't been the same since until you started getting Pablo when you got Vucevic, who is in Chicago now. The last time we actually made the playoffs before we had Pablo was in the freaking bubble. And we got stumped out by the adventuring champion Raptors. Then we get to Paolo Banchero. As you see, for a Magic fan, it's been you know your team so well, you know when dumb decision happen, you just like, this is what we do for whatever reason. 4 unprotected picks and 2 players for 1 guy. You ain't even get a bench player at it with it. Oh, go ahead. Because this is what I have to deal with as a Mets fan. This is what I have to deal with.
Well, there's a couple of things you got to do, right? One of the things you have to do is you have to shout out the GM of the Memphis Grizzlies. Because what they did was they created a bidding war. I don't know if you read this information or not, but there were several teams that were looking for Desmond Bane. So Orlando said, you know what? We want him, so we're going to go reach and get him. We're not going to play around. We're not going to we're not going to gushy foot or pussy foot, as people say. We're going to go after him. And that's what happened, you know? And I can understand somebody saying that's a lot and looking in the bubble and saying that's a lot for this dude, right? Because you could say this dude is not, you know, he's not a starter. He's never been an all-star. But he's a solid guy, and he's going to make that team better. And I don't think you can make the argument against that. This team is missing shooting. That's what Orlando's missing. Now, compensation-wise, you may feel like, oh, Orlando overspent. But draft picks are hit and miss. Orlando has a lot of good young players. They need shooting, defense, and leadership. Those are all things that Desmond Bane is going to bring to this team. Desmond Bane is going to make this team better offensively, because it's going to, when he's in the game, the shots are going to be better, right? Desmond Bane, while not a point guard, he's a guy that can run a team. We saw the year that John Morant was out. This team was not very good, but Desmond Bane was one of the better players, and he was making other players around him better. So when you put him around the caliber of talent that's already in Orlando, young but good talent, the hope is that he's going to unlock this offense and this defense for you. He's going to be that difference maker. You're paying not just for his pedigree or what position you think he is or where he's at in a scoring hierarchy, but you're paying because you're getting a guy that gets after it on both ends of the court, and the guys who has arms bigger than most people's legs. So he definitely can take punishment and give it out. And a guy that, you know, plays the game the right way. Like I said, leadership. He's been on a team where he's been at number two. He's had a guy like Ja to be the number one. So, yeah, he's not going to take over the number one position, but he is going to be a guy that's going to have a ball in his hands a lot more than probably Paolo and Franz. He's going to make the right plays a lot of time. He's going to make plays that make sense. So compensation-wise, you can say, okay, y'all might have overspent a little bit, but if you were of the fear that someone else is going to get this dude, and you really wanted him and you feel like he could unlock everything in Orlando, you sometimes have to overpay. It's a market, right? If nobody else wanted him, then this would be a stupid move. But I'm sure there were other teams. Like I said, all the reports said there were 4 to 5 teams that were serious in making nice offers for him. And Orlando just said, you know what? We want him bad enough that we're just going to jump. We're going to overpay. We know we're overpaying, but that's how you guarantee that you get the guy you want. So I think this will happen. We'll see how it works out, but he should be a great fit. My only question for you, playmaker, who's going to be the point guard? Who's your point guard?
Jalen Suggs, our point guard.
Okay. So he's going to stay your point guard?
He's been out with injury. That's why you didn't see him. Okay. But yes, he was a piece that was missing. Jalen Suggs was a piece that was missing because the way that he runs the offense. So
with him out, so whenever he leaves the game, now you got Bane, who I feel like can run point with your second unit if you need him to. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't put him out there against the other team's starting point guard, but I feel like he's a guy that can run point or be like the secondary guard on the first or the second team. So I still think he's a good, you know, fit. Like I say, he's not the guy I would want, of course, to be my starting point guard, but I think as like a shooting guard, this is a great pickup for you guys. I think it'll work out long term. Like I said, the compensation you may not be happy with, but the production you're going to get and the way he's going to help this team, you'll be happier with it a month or two into the season than you are right now.
I like Bane. Jeez. Like, that's a lot.
hey man, like I said, other people's trying to get him too.
All right, but I'm a Magic fan, but we're gonna see how this works.
Now, I mean, I'm not saying it's gonna make you the best team in the East, but this should at least make you a top 14.
Hey, we're already a top 14.
I mean, you might feel like you're top 14.
We got caught the injury bug at the wrong time.
What I mean, you're not
having us
top 14 until you are. Right, like people can say, I feel like we're a champion, but you're not a champion until you're a champion.
But listen to the pundits, as we like to use nowadays. This was a championship contendership type move from what they are saying.
I wouldn't listen to those pundits. I think those pundits are overreacting. Like I said, I think I have a very good opinion of Bane. And I think he will be helpful, but championship contending in year one without the other guys really having a lot of experience, I think that's a little bit far.
Because how do you look at it? Yes, we can play with Baltimore. We've been probably one of the most consistent teams giving Boston headaches. And people look at Boston as the team to beat in the East, even though they're not a part of the East. Won the top team in the East this year. We found out Cleveland are frauds. You don't even ask me why. So, Boston, then you would go to what? The Knicks? Pacers? Then you throw Cleveland and Orlando in that mix, so... Outside of Boston, for sure, everybody else is like fighting for second.
I would agree with that.
But we did what we did, and I'm going to have to live with it. And pray that this works out the way that they think it's going to work out. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, let's talk some WNBA, because somebody returned to my demise, and somebody else to achieve something that she has never achieved before. Stay tuned to find out.
They're intrinsically tied, which makes it even more interesting.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kids on the block. New edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck. Matt Damon. Go yourself again, Jason.
In a world where chronicles of the past are brought to the streams, whether the content is relatable or completely beyond your realm of life, there is no shadow of a doubt that this show is absolutely full of shenanigans. Get ready for
D. Willy in the Evening
this Sunday at 10:05 p.m. Eastern,
exclusively on Sertoba Media. Where the struggle is real to be awesome.
Shop hats and official sports gear at Lids. Lids is the leader and number one destination for hats, gears, and everything that moves you, making it the perfect shop for fans to find official sports hats, merchandise, and gear. Represent your team, your town, and your style with a snapback adjustable fitted hat or beanie from thousands of college and pro teams. Browse the very latest sports jerseys and t-shirts from the best teams out there. Lids has officially licensed professional and college sport team apparel and hats featuring the hottest brands and trends. Shop online or visit one of the 100 stores across the country. Locker Rooms by Liz.
And welcome back to Shooting Lights out here on this Monday, June 16, 2025. With the cool Breeze, cool McCain with me. As we're going to be pulling double duties today, as we both going to be on here. And then later on, Monos are wrestling. But before we get to that, action in the WNBA over the weekend was pretty interesting. Going back to Friday, it was the Cool McCain's Atlanta Dream decided to smoke the Chicago Sky 88-70 and Wayne Howard. That was the Kentucky Wildcats Wayne Howard that showed up in that game. 36 points, 12 for 25 on the field, 9 for 19. Why the hell did she take 19 threes, though? That's my only question.
That's a good question.
It's your team. I'm like, why is she taking 19 threes, though? God, dog.
They've gotten to the point where everyone's just, I'm pulling. You know what I'm saying? That's just across basketball. You know, high school, college, and pro. They just pull too much. They shoot way too many threes. But her thing is going to be consistency. If she can kick that number from 9 of 19 to 9 of 12, 9 of 14, that makes that number look a lot better and still have the same efficiency. Still got to work on the percentages for Ryan, but when she's in a bag, when she's in her bag, it's hard to stop that young lady. It's just a matter of constantly being there. I think she's got a better team around her for her to do that now. Some people had to go to kind of give her a certain level of comfort in this offense and in this organization. You know what I'm saying? Like, people have been there before, you know, kind of been a quote unquote integral piece or face of the team to some extent. There's a difference that goes on when those people are around. But when those people are gone, and it's like, hey, you're supposed to run things now. You're supposed to be one of the people that make us win or lose. You see people kind of either step up or shrink down. Just need her to step up consistently. But yeah, Chicago, they struggling, and Atlanta did what they were supposed to do.
Y'all, most of y'all heard my take on Chicago last week. Pretty much I cut it out and made it a real, too. So y'all know how I feel about Chicago. But we're going to get back to Chicago. We're going to get back to Atlanta, too, because I'll talk about it when we get back to it. Dallas Wings took on the Las Vegas Aces, the first game without Asia Wilson, who was out with a concussion. Vegas found a way to pull it out, 88-84. Jackie Young stepped up with 28 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals. Jewel Lord, the Gold Mambo, 21 points to add to it. So the backcourt for the Aces came through when their number one player is not available. And this is just... I don't know, Cole Johnson is back somewhere, probably in Houston or back in Tennessee, laughing his butt off because Dallas just can't finish. They just can't finish.
Hey, they won 11 for a reason. And if you want to make yourself kind of come up and get that strong performance, I will say Dallas is a team that you're going to do that against so far. Paige is looking pretty good. But again, you got a lot of young players. Well, you got a young superstar, let me say that. And then you got some new pieces, you know, that type of thing. And it sometimes takes a little bit of time. And I know everybody, you know, oh, Dallas is done. And Dallas is, it's tough for Dallas right now. But you got to have learning pains. You know, when you bring in pieces, it's sometimes the piece isn't quite moldable right away, you know, so you got to kind of, at first you're trying to put like a circle piece into a square. It doesn't always fit at first until that square kind of circles off a little bit, and then you can fit the pieces together. So I think it's just, It's one of them things for Dallas. I think Dallas understood we had a number one pick for a reason last year, and we're probably going to be in the mix for it again this year. But Dallas has been known to make second half explosions and look a lot better. So let's hope they got another one left in them. But right now, boy, when you see Dallas on schedule, you're like, bet. We need to play hard this game. This is a good chance to win.
I mean, they played the Lynx twice. They met with the Storm, the Mercury. They schedule has not been easy.
No, it hasn't.
But hey, even without Adrian Wilson, the Aces still got it done. That was Friday. Saturday. With the Minnesota Lynx coming off their first loss of the season, they took their anger out on the Sparks.
Now, the Sparks is the finest team in the WNBA. I'm talking about them women are beautiful. And they have the ability, but they got a jail. And it don't help when you playing. Honestly, you could have put any team in the league in this spot. Minnesota just got their first loss. They was pissed. As you could see, Lafisa Collier was pissed. And when you have a really good team that's pissed off, it don't really matter who was in the spot. That was an L.
That best player in the WNBA is starting to make a trip up to Minnesota from Las Vegas.
Hey,
because Navisa Carr is not playing this season.
The one in Vegas is hurt. And a lot of people were talking about last year. The reason the one in Minnesota didn't win last year or wasn't in more consideration was because she was hurt. So the roles are starting to reverse a little bit this year. See how it plays out.
Even with that, before AJ Wilson got hurt, Navisa Carr was already on one.
I'm just saying.
She was on one from the jump.
I'm just saying, if one person is playing, one person is out. We can talk about who's on one, who's this, who's that. When you're not playing, you're losing games. You're losing games, you're losing opportunities. Losing opportunities, somebody's going to jump you. You can have an opinion that she already jumped her, but that's an opinion. But the fact is, you start missing 5-10 games in WNBA season, you're not going to be the MVP.
Like I said, Minnesota is on a revenge tour, and Nafisa Carr is on a revenge tour.
She definitely is.
For what happened last year.
Yeah, there's an argument. Like I said, I'm not going to lie. There's an argument that she was balling last year. So I'm not surprised that she's continuing it. I hope they both have monster seasons.
But good gracious. Every time I turn around and see a Minnesota game, I got to look at her numbers and be like, this girl, she ain't playing no games. That team ain't playing no games.
None.
They want the damn title. And if you are in their way, they come to bust you up. And speaking of busting up, Indiana hosted New York, round two of this matchup. And it was the return of Caitlin Clark, who decided this was the game to light our asses up.
It's time for y'all to get y'all first L too, huh?
She lit our ass up. Man, matter of fact, the 32 points, that happened in three quarters. She ain't even score in the fourth quarter, and she didn't even need to score in the fourth quarter. That's how...
To get in for two more rebounds and an assist, though.
Dude, in the first quarter, this girl went ballistic. This girl scored 9 points in 38 seconds. And I said, ah, damn, she's back. We're talking Steph Curry type 9 points in 38 seconds. That's how bad it was. It didn't matter if we scored or not. She came down, pulled up from the logo, 3-point swish. I'm sitting here like, oh my God, she is on one. This is our first game back.
That's how I normally go, though, right?
How I normally go is you rusty. That first quarter, you rusty. You trying to get the rhythm back. Not with Caitlin Clark.
Well, I will say this on the behalf of her and others. When you're somebody that's considered like one of your better players and you have to sit out. And remember, she had it was a hand injury, right?
No, it was
shoulder?
Quad injury.
Quad.
Okay. That she suffered against us back in May.
That's right. That's right. It was a quad. You have one of those injuries where you can't really play, but it's not debilitating to the point where you can't, you know what I'm saying, put up shots and do different things. So even though she wasn't able to get out and actually play in the game, she was getting ready. And again, hurt against y'all, come back in against y'all. I mean, that's got to be a little extra motivation.
And plus, we are the champ, so.
Right. You're getting everybody's best shot all season. We talk about that all the time. When you're the champ, everybody coming for you.
Yeah, she let our ass up. And then the rest of the FIBA team caught fire with her. And then it was just like, yep, we're going to take this one. Sabrina, I love you. Because you went down fighting. You dropped 34 your damn self. But you saw the Caitlin Clark effect. When that woman is on, it affects everybody in any Indiana FIBA uniform. It gets contagious.
Everybody, yeah. She is their star. Don't get me wrong. She is their star. She's the, as far as ticket sales go, she's a WNBA star, right? She brings ticket sales. She does. She definitely does that.
And it was a happy welcome sight for Indiana fans because Indiana was struggling without Caitlin Clark.
That should be expected. I agree.
But now she's back and she let our asses up. There's a boast of confidence in Indianapolis. Rightfully so. Because when you can do that to the champs, you feel like you can do that to anybody now. Because the champs got actually better than last year.
Yeah. But so did a lot of other teams.
So when the champs get better from winning a championship and you do that to the champs, you feel good about your team. You're like, okay, we can probably play with anybody now. Now let's see what happens when you finally made up with Minnesota because they're a team that's on a revenge tour, as we just mentioned, so we don't know how that was going to go. When does Indiana and Minnesota link up? Because I know we don't link up with Minnesota about, I think, August. Like, they went towards the end of the year for us to finally link up. And you know what that happened. Everybody going to want to see that game. WNBA Finals rematch for the first time? Oh, yeah, we want to see that. I'm looking here. Trying to figure out. Shoot, they got us two more times, and both of those games in July. And they don't see the links to August. Ooh, they back out of the schedule. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be – now that second half of the season might be very interesting for all the top contender teams because they think they all playing each other.
That's kind of more exciting though, right? That is kind of exciting.
It is. Because for those of you who don't know, even though you have East teams and West teams, it's the top 8 teams, period, that gets in.
Yeah.
And we fight it out from there. And then Golden State is not your typical expansion team. Usually when you get an expansion team, you know, you look at them and be like, man, but they just got this. So they got to, you know, learn the process, you know, get everything together, get everybody cohesive. This team here? Man, what they did to the Aces, and this was before Adrian Wilson got injured. I was like, well, damn. That was they not their first major. That's not their first win, but their first major statement was against the Aces. I think that was last weekend.
Right.
When they smoked them. Now you beating the Seattle Storm and Caleb Thornton, which continues my suffering because Caleb Thornton was a New York Liberty. She's messing around. She gonna become the face of that franchise. Because every time I turn around when they win it, it's Caleb Thornton out here putting up the numbers. Which I am missing so much right about now.
Yeah. People need an opportunity.
But Golden State is not your typical expansion team.
Now, it took them a few minutes. It took them a couple of games to get things together. Right. But you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming.
Man, Golden State's out here balling. Jeez.
I like that logo, too. That logo is hard.
Man, the Valkyries?
Yeah.
You might have to keep an eye on them. Like, hold on, man. Y'all in the special team. Y'all not supposed to be doing this. They are. So,
and just
be on the lookout.
Number one pick like they should have. Because in my opinion, if you don't get the expansion team, at least a top three pick. No, top two pick. That's a joke. So I feel like if they had a guy what they really were supposed to get. But that's another story for another day.
That's why it makes what's going on in Chicago very, very mohead scratching, because like the two coaches came from the same freaking team from Las Vegas. You would think the Valkyries would be in position that the Sky is in, the Sky would be in position that the Valkyries is in. No, that is totally flipped.
No, because it depends on that particular coach and what they bring. And I feel like the Valkyries got the right coach for what they have. The word is still out on if the Sky did or not.
But that was Saturday. And then Sunday, speaking of which, hell was Father's Day. And so it sent my boy Happy Father's Day because that man is a father.
Appreciate that too, sir. Appreciate that.
And as a similar father, he probably enjoyed what the Chicago Sky finally looked like a professional basketball team for once this season.
Yeah, it was good to see Angel do her thing, and it was good to see Chicago play better. Definitely guard play is paramount for them, but Angel kind of being a facilitator as well, I think can work, but she's got a mature basketball wise, but in all fairness, she's 23. She's been in the league for 2 years. We're not looking at a finished product for Angel by far.
Nope. Her first ever triple double, 11 points, 13 boards, 11 assists. And she also had 3 steals. And then, Nkuma Kane, I told people who Chicago needs to start letting the cook, and they let her cook. Even though she's a rookie and Haley Van Lith. She dropped you 16 points.
You gotta let Haley cook.
Yeah. I try to tell y'all, let Haley do her thing. Haley is a point guard that y'all need.
And Haley is a bucket too. Haley's more of an aggressive scorer to me than Paige on a consistent basis. Paige can have her games, but Haley's a dog. She just needs the opportunity, and she getting it.
That's the first time I saw Haley feel very comfortable, because she didn't have to worry about playing 4 minutes here, and then she got to rest for like 13 minutes.
Can't nobody be successful like that, yo. That's what I don't understand why people don't see that. No one can be successful in that role.
Man, Haley went in, and I was like, this is the Chicago team I need to see going forward. This is the team. How y'all played against Connecticut is the team I need to see going forward.
And remember, Haley knew how to play with Angel.
I know.
Everybody talking about Angel being on the bench. No, she just needs somebody to know how to play with her.
Now, I'm not saying y'all going to start going on a win streak or anything. But y'all looked like a professional team.
Absolutely.
Now y'all can look like the Dallas Wings, who, for Malton's purpose, even though they won 11, they've been in almost every single game they was in. They just didn't finish.
No. You want to look like you belong, right? You ain't gonna always win, but looking like you belong is very important. And hey, this was a statement game to me for Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're gonna go out here, this is how we can look. Not saying we're gonna look this way every game, because you know they're gonna be inconsistent as a mug, but this just shows you what they could be.
And Taylor Marsh, you finally did. You put the right strings for once. You let Haley cook, and Angel's not forcing it. She's not forcing it. Now, we do need to work, make sure we are better efficient from the field goal, but hey, you're not forcing it, which is very great for a second year player to know I'm not forcing the issue. So, can y'all keep this up, please? Because good Lord have mercy. What y'all looked before was god awful. And then, all right. I'm pretty sure Cool McCain has said this before. He never had an opportunity. He probably never had an opportunity to say it on this program, but I'm pretty sure he said this before. So I'm going to go ahead and say it. And if he agrees with me, he's going to say he agrees with me. But I know that people like talking about Ryan Howard, but goddamn, Alicia Gray is that franchise. The one person that I know for sure, if you tell me the Atlanta Dream won a game, I'm the first person I'm asking what was Alicia Gray's numbers. Because Alicia Gray is like probably the most quietest baller in the WNBA.
I would definitely agree. Alicia Gray is definitely that chick for the Atlanta Dream. I think the thing, though, is it needs to be Ryan Howard. It's not yet, but it needs to be. You dig what I'm saying? I'm not saying she's close to there at this point. Well, she's kind of close. She's getting there. She's developing. But if you're talking about right now in the Atlanta Dream getting back into the playoffs and possibly winning a series, win a couple of games and play out, win a series, Alicia Gray has to put up good numbers. Because, again, the person that they want to kind of carry this franchise isn't there yet. So Alicia Gray is, and even when Howard gets to that point, I think Alicia Gray is going to be that number two for her. So she's still going to have a very important role on the team.
But man, right look now, at the, look at the efficiency in 32.
Yeah. Like I said, she is that person right now. No denying it.
My thing is, she's not talked about enough.
No, she won't be. She's too quiet. She has a quiet game. When you have a quiet game, you're never talked about enough. Right? She's not, you know, she's not somebody that's a part of something, some type of drama or nothing like that. She just go out there and play basketball. She quiet. She keep to herself. She support everybody. And, you know, you don't necessarily get
similar to Nafisa Carr. Nafisa Carr, you don't hear much about Nafisa Carr off the court.
But Nafisa's so dynamic on the court that you have to notice her. You know what I'm saying? Alicia Gray is more of like, I'll get in where I fit in. That's her greatness. She'll get in where she fit in. She doesn't have to be the main person. She doesn't have to be, you know, talked about a lot. She's just going to do her. And I think that's, in a way, even more impressive because you're consistent and you're not even someone that gets highlighted.
See, very consistent.
Yeah.
Because anytime I see that your girl's one, I'm going straight to Alicia Clark's stats. What did she do? Because I know Alicia did something. If the Dream's winning, Alicia's part of it some type of way.
Definitely is. She's definitely a leader, and she's definitely a dominant person. But like I say, she's even on the court. Like, you'll see great plays of hers if you like playmaker and you're watching and you're saying, this is somebody I'm really paying attention to. But if you're just a casual fan watching, they probably argue that point that you're trying to make because she doesn't pop. But I feel like it's purposely that she doesn't pop because it's not her game. Her game is I'm trying to make everybody else better. She reminds me of a old school point guard. I can get mine, but I'd rather help everybody else get theirs and then pick my moments. You get all your guys, your ladies involved, the game goes better.
A Tony Parker type.
Tony Parker.
Yeah, I got you. Tony Parker type guard. Yeah. Cause we know Tony Parker, he can get his.
Yeah. But it'd be so quiet. Like he'd be like, Tony Parker had 30 points. And you watch the game, it'd be like, for real? Yeah, 30 points. Like, that's her type of game. Very important.
The Dream are not playing around. Minnesota's not playing around. New York's the champs. Indiana has Caitlin Clark back now. They finna try to make a run. This season is getting very interesting to start off with. And with me saying it leads me to this. Another team that ain't playing around. The Phoenix Mercury. Satu Saba. Cool. I know you, Cole Johnson, Dre, Bryant, y'all try to educate people on my knowledge of the WNBA and basketball, period. But on my knowledge of the WNBA. Phoenix made my top five list to begin the season. Satu Saba made my top five WNBA players going into the season.
She's living up to it.
They're not proving me wrong.
Not at all.
And this is without Kalia Copper, Alyssa Thomas playing. They are 8-4. The only person that would say that they can say the same thing that I said is Megan Price. You know why? Because Satu Saba was part of the Dallas Wings.
Satu was good on that team. This was a good move. And we said that before the season when I was on Me and Cole and with you. Satu to Phoenix seems like a really good fit. Just curious, once everybody's there, does the production kind of, you know, move around a little bit? You know what I'm saying?
That's a fair question. That is a fair question.
But not that the talent's not there, but just when you're playing with other really great players, sometimes you have to, all right, I don't get to take, you know, 23, 25 shots. Maybe I only get 20. You know what I'm saying? So they can get a little bit. So everybody's, you know, eating together. Or the other thing that could happen is she still keep getting hers and they just get theirs too. It just all depends on how everything flow. Because also you could take her off the floor and the minute she's not on the floor, now you got other people that can be the focus when they get back. So it may not affect her much at all.
I'm loving this for Phoenix. I'm loving it.
I like this Phoenix team. I like the way that they playing. They lost some key pieces, and they still keeping it moving. They're not taking a step back at all.
Hey, you know how hard it was? So I'm saying, like, who will I pick at? Because the top four teams is pretty unanimous. You know, New York. At the time, it was unanimous at the time. You know, New York won because they're the champs. Minnesota, too, because that's who they beat to win championships. And you put Las Vegas up there, you're like, man, they got the best player. They got the best player in the game in Najee Wilson. You got one of the best point guards in Chelsea Gray still intact. So, you know, you're going to get a respect this dude. They, all intents and purposes, we ain't finna know Indiana because they got Caitlin Clark. That woman has shown how damn dynamic she can be. Then that first light, like, okay, Seattle did make some moves. Atlanta made some moves. Phoenix made some moves. Who was like a torn card? I was like, you know what? If I'm being objective, I'm going to roll with Phoenix. Because I think them getting Satu and Alyssa Thomas, that's just, I don't think people really understand of getting them two players on that team does. That is a team that's not rebuilding. That's a team that just retooled.
But see, they got to see it. Yeah, they got to see it.
So I went with Phoenix over the other two. But Seattle and Atlanta, they ain't making me looking bad either because they coming. man, this is an interesting season. It's going to be a fight to the finish for this. And we got, what, 44 games this year? Oh, Lord. That's a lot of games to be played.
Yes, there is.
And speaking of which, upcoming games. And this is where me and the WNBA have some issues. Y'all have 6 games tomorrow. And only 2 will be televised. Of course, one is going to be Caitlin Clark going against the Connecticut Suns. And plus, if Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever do what they need to do against the Connecticut Suns, they'll be representing the East in the Commissioner's Cup, not the New York Liberty. If some miracle happens, which I doubt it, very seriously doubt it, and Indiana end up losing to Connecticut some form of fashion, well, Kuma Kane's dream is the team that's next up on the list after we suffer our first loss of the season. But we're going to see how that goes.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
If it just so happened we treat y'all like Minnesota treat the Sparks, it wasn't personal. It was business.
Well, you know, man. Luckily, we weren't the one to play y'all right after that loss.
Yeah, you in the position you do not want to be in right now.
You do not want to be the team that plays somebody after they lose their first game of the season or after a embarrassing loss and they think they're a good team. There's a lot of pride.
We're going to see if Chicago can stay looking like a professional team when the Washington Mystics comes to town.
Yep.
Speaking of the Dallas Wings, they meet with the Golden State Valkyries. That should be interesting because that expansion team looks good. And Dallas just can't finish. So I'm interested in seeing how that game goes.
You know, being the only team that came in this year, I think was very helpful for them, just like it's going to be for Toronto next year. Right? When you're coming in by yourself, it's a lot easier because the pool of players is out there is all for you. Right? So all the players you can't protect is all for you. All those things work in your favor.
No word on Asia Wilson if she'll be back or not, but if she is, it's her versus the Feast of Kyrie up in Minnesota. That game should be televised.
The only reason you might argue against it is because she may not play. Because if she don't play, it shouldn't be televised. But assuming she's going to play, because a concussion normally don't keep you out for so long. Assuming she's going to play, and when you were set up the schedule, there's no reason why the game shouldn't have already been televised.
Man. Talking about the top 2 players in the WNBA currently, and you don't think people want to see that matchup?
And tell them who the games that are televised.
And then, you know, the LA Sparks hosting the Seattle Storm at 10 p.m. on NBA TV.
So you got that one, but you don't got.
I mean, at least Cool get to see the finest team in the WNBA, you know, at 10 p.m.
Okay.
And he get to see Skylar Diggins as well.
Okay.
And just to put the cherry on top, Gabby Williams is a very lovely French woman too. So.
Yes, she is. Seattle has some very scrumptiousness on their roster as well.
But you want to know what my real problem is with WNBA? You got 6 games tomorrow. And this is the only game on Wednesday. We're going from 6 games on one day to just 1 the very next day. Just 1. Like, you tell me you couldn't, like, you couldn't move Minnesota and Las Vegas to Wednesday?
And get them on TV.
You couldn't do that? You couldn't move the Atlanta Dream and New York Liberty game to Wednesday? Put it on TV? I mean, come on. This is why I need the WNBA to understand how marketing works, because Fly J Johnson and AZ Foot from Connecticut, they're on their way after this upcoming basketball season in college. Juju Watson will be coming within the next 2 to 3 years.
might be three after her leg.
I'm gonna need y'all to understand how y'all need to do this marketing thing so that y'all can get the most amount of viewership you can. Caitlin Clark has brought the eyes, but you're not marketing it correctly.
Yeah, they need to do a better job of whenever Caitlin Clark is playing and that game is on TV, it needs to be more hype around it. I feel like they kind of lazy in the fact that they just, oh, Caitlin Clark's playing, so we ain't got to worry about it. Nah. And you need to be marketing whoever she's playing against. She's playing against Angel Reese, college championship rematch. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, hype them up. Get them to where people like, all right, let's go see. You know, sometimes it's kind of like, oh, you still want to rely on that old story. Hey, we're trying to sell tickets. We're trying to get views. We got to do what we got to do.
Caitlin Clark did the hard work for you. Caitlin Clark bought them.
Well, apparently, it won't the hard work. Apparently, the hard work is actually making it all make sense for the W.
Yeah, this is your Wednesday game, Phoenix at Connecticut. Nobody wants to see Phoenix beat the brakes off Connecticut. Then again, I probably won't mind seeing Sawtooth go for 30 though.
I don't mind Sawtooth at all.
And then Thursday, Phoenix is at New York. And then Caitlin Clark, she gets her first meeting with the expansion team, the Golden State Rockets, out in San Francisco. Amazon Prime, you have two great games. I will give you that. Because I want to see how my Liberty look up against a new Phoenix Mercury team. And then Caitlin Clark versus the expansion team. That sells itself. First time we meet, the Bay Area gets the visit from Caitlin Clark.
That'll be a good game.
So Thursday night, it's great. Thursday night is a great slate. But if you're going to have games Tuesday, Wednesdays, you want to make sure that those slates are just as good, not just Thursday. Because people want to watch something during the week when they get off work. They want to say, what can I look at before I call it a day? We got a WNBA game. Oh, we got a okay. We got 9-1 New York going against 8-4 Phoenix. Okay, I can watch that. See what's going on here. And I get to see good basketball being played. Fundamental basketball being played at that. But before Juju Barkin makes her way to the WNBA, I'm gonna need the WNBA front offices to get their marketing strategy together. Because they come in waves. We're going to take our second break here. And then the NBA Finals have reached this climax. Oh, boy. Oh, I wonder if Indiana screwed themselves out of this one.
I mean, if I'm going to be honest with you, I'll wait till we get back. Go ahead. But I'll wait till we get back.
Welcome to Ringside Chaos.
The thing with Tony Khan now being in talks to buy WWE, I'm going to be honest with you. I spoke to this with Ricky Litwinkiewicz, a.k.a. the Master of Mayhem, and he honestly believes that me talking about Tony Khan buying WWE is basically I'm kind of wasting my time because Ricky believes it's never going to happen. Okay. Now, as a wrestling fan that's been super supportive of Brody Lee as a wrestler, and everything that WWE could have done with him, and you know everything that he could have shown and you know offered for the wrestling business, you know, for me, I wasn't just a fan of Brody Lee himself, like in character. I strongly respected him, you know, as a human being. Like I had a lot of respect for Jonathan Huber. You know, that's Mr. Brody Lee's real name. So basically, I had a lot of respect for Brody Lee, Luke Harper, and of course, Mr. Jonathan Huber. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
WWE Shop is your online source for all things WWE. Be a part of the site, man, and score wrestling gear for big events like WrestleMania or SummerSlam. From current superstars to legends, from Raw to SmackDown to NXT. Don't miss this chance to shop for the most awesome WWE merch. Shop for the best deals as well as WWE gift cards and save big on your favorite items. WWE Shop at Fanatics Experience.
Cool McCain.
You thought you wanted Gunther against Chad Gable, but you didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Chad Gable would take everything that Gunther's done and bury it.
The Playmaker.
It was on sight. AJ Styles walked out there, seen LA Knight. Oh, okay. Then we LA Knight hopped out the car. Let's go.
Break down everything in TNA, AEW, and all of the WWE programming. Join these two kings, Monarchs of Wrestling, live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central on the Play Caller Sports Talk YouTube channel.
Yep, in about an hour and 45 minutes from now, Monarchs of Wrestling. If you want a snippet, I told my co-host I didn't feel good about a certain match, and what do you behold? That's all I gotta say. I didn't feel good about a match, and sure enough, they did not disappoint me whatsoever. Or should I say
circumstances? I think that happened in there. Two things I think happened.
So yeah, prepare for that on Marvelous Wrestling. But since I know you don't get this do it so much, there you go, cool. Our boy Victor's in the chat. I was on Snowman with him this morning. And always, cool Breeze McCain.
What up, Vicola? My God, what's good, man?
All right. NBA Finals. We are through four games and we are tied 2-2. Let's take a trip back down the city of Indianapolis, Indiana. Game 3. 116-107 Indiana. They finally got over their game 3 curses. Benedict Maverick, 27 points off the bench. Tyrese Haliburton, 22-9-11. Pascal Siakam chipped in with 21-6-4. Hey, man. Okay, every time OKC tried to get back in the game, Indiana answered back. It just kept going. And to the point where it was said and done. And Indiana
got him in the fourth.
And Indiana took game 3. What will happen in game 4? Because I said, well, with this interesting game 4 coming up, OKC has never lost back-to-back games these playoffs. But on the same side, Indiana has never lost a game 4. So I got to give. And that is OKC not losing back-to-back games. 111-104. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the MVP, 35 big ones. 10 for 10 from the free throw line. Also with 3 steals. Jalen Williams is starting to cook now. 27 points. Back-to-back 20-point games for him. And then did anybody had Alex Caruso as one of the X Factors in this series?
I did.
Because that dude has back-to-back 20-point games, and he had 5 steals to go with it. And he is backdooring the Pacers to death. At some point, y'all going to figure out, that guy there with the headband on, he's going backdoor. And they don't stop it. So now, I'm going to I'm gonna bring us full screen. That's what I'm gonna do. Because now that we're tied 2-2, Indiana, in my humble opinion, I think y'all just lost that series when y'all lost game 4. You gave home court back to OKC, which means you have to go back to that building and win again, which I don't see y'all doing. I just don't.
So I had OKC in 6 from the beginning.
I did too.
So here's the problem with OKC in 6. OKC pissed away game 1. And in doing so, they gave up home court, right? They won a game on the road, so directly they have home court back. But here's the thing. Someone's got to win 2 games in a row now to win a series. And that's not technically, at this point, that's not Indiana. Whoever loses game 5 has to win 2 games in a row. So if OKC pulls out game 5 tonight, I may be correct, and I may be able to get them, you know, in 6. They lose tonight, clearly it's going to be 7. Even if they win tonight, there's no guarantee they're going to win in 6 games now. OKC should have won the first 2 at home, got 1 in Indiana, and right now be sitting at 3-1. By the same argument, you can say Indiana pissed away game 4, and they could be up 3-1. So if everything was what most people thought, we'd still be sitting at the same thing. We'd just be talking about different teams winning different games, right? Because I felt like it was going to be like a 2-2-2 thing. I felt like through 4 games, we were going to be 2-2, right? And I felt like after 6 games, that's when you would have somebody win 2 games in a row and win the series. I felt like there was going to be OKC. But now we're seeing this: win the first game, lose the second, win the third, lose the fourth. Well, you're going to win the 5th, lose the 6th, and they have 1 game to determine it all. I don't quite know how this series is going to go anymore, but I stand by my word, and I stand by my beliefs. So I'm going to say OKC and 6 right now. I better win at home tonight. I'll tell you that right now. Y'all win tonight.
What? I say OKC and 6 because I said their defense should be too much for Indiana. Apparently, in that 4th quarter, they defense showed it was too much for Indiana. When you hold the home team to 17 points in the 4th quarter, that means you stepped up and said, we are not losing this game. And we are not losing this game on the defensive end. So that's how this happens. Indiana, you did yourself a disservice. You gave the advantage back to OKC because now it's best 2 out of 3. And 2 of those games are in OKC. Game 5 tonight, and if there was a game 7, that would be on Sunday. You had the advantage. You overcame your game 3 demons. And you was on the verge of going 0-3-1. You can't do that. If you're the team that doesn't have home court advantage and you snatch home court advantage game 1 out the gate, you don't give it back to the team. You don't do that. Because you did the hard part out the gate. You went into their building and you beat them. Now you are forced to win another game in their building. And one of the buildings that is very hard to win at, especially twice, is Oklahoma City. You don't believe me? Let's go full screen. You see this guy over here? That man is rocking a Denver Nuggets hat. When y'all took home court advantage from OKC, what happened?
We didn't give it back.
You gave it back, and guess what? You did not. You could not go. You could not go back to OKC and win again.
Yeah. You. The thing is, we took them to 7. only team so far to do so. Indiana may be doing that, but I will say this. What I do like is that the stars are starring. And you'll say, what do you mean? Halliburton didn't really have a lot of good games. But you got to remember, they really have two stars. Forget about the guy named Pascal Siakam. He's been balling. He has been balling.
Yeah. It's been.
Every game.
Which brings me to my other point when it comes to you giving advance back to OKC. We haven't really heard from Chet Holmgren. Jalen Williams has finally arrived in these postseason. Alex Caruso has been an S-fight that nobody really talked about. So now we're waiting for Chet Holmgren to go ahead and put his imprint on the NBA Finals. I'm sorry, Indiana, but you had the advantage and you gave it back to him. Now you got to go back to OKC tonight to win another game in that building where that crowd can sense it. They have at least two games at the very most to cheer their team to the Larry O'Brien Trophy. And one thing about OKC, yeah, they don't lose back-to-back games. They don't like losing at home. And the fact they already know they lost one at home to y'all, best believe they ain't finna try to lose another one to y'all at home.
And you remember, I don't know if it was here or the other show that I did for basketball. I talked a lot about OKC gonna piss away two games a series. And people was like, oh, blah, 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 blah. No, OKC is gonna piss away two games a series. It's the youth, right? Like, they still learning how to dominate for a series. They got it for games, but for a series, they're still learning. So they're going to piss away two games, and they've done that. They pissed away game one, and they pissed away game three. So if we get the OKC defense that we expect these next two games, this can be over in six. But we'll see if that happens.
Now, Indiana got to do something that they have never done. Not lose back-to-back games. And doing that on the road, I don't like your chances whatsoever. Here's my thing with Indiana. If y'all want, all right, well, Playman, you said in all this, but what would be something that would make you feel comfortable about Indiana going forward to a game six and possibly a game seven? If Indiana don't get their ass whooped tonight, you can win game six, you'll be back in OKC for game seven. But if y'all get y'all ass whooped tonight, and I'm talking about 15 points or more, y'all done. Because OKC going to have that. Because OKC going to be like, all right, it's time to kill him now. It's time to kill him now. Because now if you look at it, ain't really been an ass whooping being taken yet. It's been comebacks, but not an ass whooping. If OKC tears into the Indiana Pacers tonight, this series is over. Because guess what? Y'all can say we can still win game six, but you got to go back to that building for a game seven. Instead of you sitting here saying we can close it out at home in game six, if there's a game seven, you have to go back to that building. That is why I say, Indiana, you screwed yourself by losing game four in the way that you did. Because you can defend home court in game six all you want to. You still got to win one in that building to be crowned champion. And I don't see OKC losing another game in that building. I just don't. Cool, maybe feel different about me, but I don't see OKC losing another game in that building. You got anything, sir?
Nah, I'm just looking forward to a good game tonight. Like I said, I'm going to still hold with that OKC in six, which means I have OKC winning tonight and closing things out in Indiana. Because that's six games. That was always the thing. They've lost the game. at home. Like you said, I don't see them losing another one, but they got to do something they haven't done so far. They got to win back-to-back games. In order for them to close this out in six, they got to win three games in a row. So we're going to see what they can do. This game right here going to tell us a lot about this series. Like you said, Pacers get dogged, ain't going to be no game seven. If the Pacers lose, ain't going to be no game seven. Because if you give OKC that blood in the water, they're going to turn to sharks. But you don't want to go back there for game seven if you're Indiana. So you got to win tonight if you're Indiana, if you really want. You know, you got to – the thing is, the winning tonight puts the other team in a situation where they got to win two in a row. Nobody's done that yet. If OKC can do that tonight, then it's on Indiana to have to do that. If Indiana does it tonight, it's on OKC. Somebody's going to have to win two in a row. Maybe three. We're going to see who it's going to be.
Sorry, Pacers fans, but when you choked away game four, I think you choked away the series. It was in your hands. It was in your grasp, and you let OKC come back and get it on the road.
I feel like it's a choke for choke. OKC choked in game one, so it's a choke for choke.
Yeah, you're right. But in my how I view it is that when you take that advantage for somebody, you got to keep it. Because you didn't walk into the series with the advantage. You took the advantage from them. And then you relinquished it. So now it's like, it's back to where it belongs. And when it's back to the rightful owner, that owner is not losing it again. Like, you took it from me once. You ain't doing it again. So that's how I feel. We'll see how game five goes tonight. By the way, if you can't watch it on TV for some reason, you're working or whatever, go follow our good brother, Brian Snow on Snowman Multimedia. He'll be doing the alternative call for that game. So if you can't watch it and you want to know what's going on, Brian Snow got you covered. And that will do it for this episode of Shooting Lights Out. As we get out of here, and we're going to take this good hour and some change that we got to prepare ourselves for Monster Wrestling, which I believe is going to end up in a very interesting dialogue back and forth about something that took place in the world of wrestling. Any final words, sir?
Tap on in. Check out my content right now. Tap in with your boys. That's all I got.
Deuces.
You've done good. You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud. That's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Being through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out of mud, gotta get it out of flow, cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.